This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
Welcome to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual plus community. I'm Elizabeth Meacham. In this episode, we discuss the upcoming New York Feminist Film Festival Week program, Vivid Glances, which is appearing on March 9th at Anthology Films Archive in New York City. Proceeds from this screen will go towards Binet USA. And here with me today are Patricia Silva, editor of Larker Magazine and guest programmer for the film festival, filmmaker Shelby Zoe Coley, performance artist Edith Woolley, also known as Manly Stanley, and the subject of Shelby's documentary that is appearing in the Vivid Glances program. And last but not least, Lynette McFadden, president of Binet USA. Welcome, everyone. Let's start with the introductions. Could you each please introduce yourselves, starting with Patricia?
So, hi, I'm Patricia, and I'm a media artist based in New York City. I'm the editor of Larker Anthology, which is an independent magazine celebrating the visual heritage of the bisexual plus spectrum. And I want to say thank you, Bicast, for doing this piece in support of the film program and also for being the first media entity ever to support Larker Anthology as a project. What else about me? So yes, I'm introducing the program of Bi-Plus short films that I guest programmed for Anthology Film Archives. It's called Vivid Glances. It's part of New York City's Feminist Film Week. That's me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, welcome. Let's go with Shelby next.
My name is Shelby Zoe Coley. I'm a Black queer documentary filmmaker based in New York. I've made maybe 6 films now that have shown like both in the U.S. and internationally, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Shelby, and welcome to you, too. Edith, it's your turn.
Hi, I'm Edith Woolley, and I'm a performance artist from London, and now I'm making work. Well, based in New York at the moment. It's really good to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm a drag king. I have a few drag king shows which I've toured like internationally and nationally, and I have longer solo shows.
Welcome, Edith. Lastly, we'll have Lynette, and she's no stranger as she is the former producer of the Bicast. I've stepped into her shoes. Could you introduce yourself, Lynette?
Yes, I'm Lynette McFadden. I am the current president of Binet USA and past producer of the Bicast.
And you are also, tell them about your award.
Oh, I am the 2018 winner of the Brenda Howard Memorial Award. I thought we talked about that one already.
We did a lot, but you know. You deserve all the accolades, so we're going to milk it. Okay. Welcome, Lynette. Welcome, everybody. Patricia, could you tell us all about the film festival and how long does it run and where is it taking place?
It starts this Tuesday, March 5, and then it runs until Sunday. It's a great film festival. For context, NYC Feminist Film Week has been actually happening only since 2007. This is its third year. I should say that it began as a very kind of small and humble radical screening series at Blue Stockings Cafe here in New York. And it was called The Woman with a Movie Camera, a series which was co-produced by Joy Schaefer and Sophia Verino. And those two eventually became the co-founders of what is now NYC Feminist Film Week, which takes place at Anthology Film Archives in Manhattan. It's very much not a corporate festival. For the past 2 years, it has been directed by Sophia. It's more grassroots organized than it seems, and it has really brought quite a community of people together. It's been a great alternative to bigger corporate film festivals that don't take as much risk with their films, or more importantly, with the criteria that they use to gauge films to begin with. So it's very special because of that independent spirit.
Oh, that's really sounds interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize it wasn't corporate, that it was an independent film festival, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they really need your support, everybody, if you're listening.
There's no sponsorship.
Wow, that's incredible that they can pull that off. That's really cool. Oh, so tell us more about the Vivid Glances program that benefits Binet USA.
Yeah, so I'm really happy about this program. Vivid Glances is a program of Bi Plus short films that I guess programmed for this year's NYC Feminist Film Week. And it runs around 80 minutes, and each of the 9 films are very different from one another. There's animation, there's documentary, both experimental and not. There's experimental narrative, and there's, you know, this feminist structuralist film, which is Laura Mulvey's Frida Kahlo and Tina Madotti. And, you know, all Bi people, I think, know that Frida Kahlo and Tina Madotti were a thing, right? And it's an interesting work because, and that's an interesting film because it structurally uses film to center women's lives. It's very much a product of its time, but it's really an overlooked gem. And Mulvey is actually the working class white activist who coined the term the male gaze in one of cinema's most important essays, or one of them, called Visual Pleasure in Narrative Cinema. So bisexuality isn't mentioned in the film at all, as, you know, it was made in 1985 or 83. And there's no mention of anything besides their work and what fueled their ideas in this film. And I have to admit, I do worry about people being a little bored Bi it, you know, because it is what it is. But it's so much about anti-male modes of looking, and that's precisely why I wanted to include it. It elongates certain parts, and it kind of resists a lot of techniques that were more popular at that time. And it shows us that there's so many ways of composing a pace and a narrative that isn't modeled on the timing and typical kind of male patterns of building cinema. I'm babbling about that one film now.
That's
the program.
Yes, actually, and I was going to ask you, okay, so the person that made it is the one who coined the term the male gaze?
Yeah, oh, and excuse me, that film was also a collaboration between Laura Mulvey, who is the person who did coin the male gaze, and I want to stress that she was a white working class activist, not an academic. I think she is not one now, but that term also comes from marginal women's spaces that are working with social justice frameworks, right? So that's kind of where that term really comes from. So yes, Laura Mulvey did direct that film with Peter Wollin.
Lynette, could you inform us about Binet USA and the funding needs of the organization?
Well, by supporting Binet USA, you support the growth of a thriving bisexual ecosystem where everyone is supported, no matter who they are or who they love. We are the B in lesbian, gay, bisexual, plus, and transgender, and QIA, I might add. We advocate for the bisexual community. We provide trainings to organizations, LGBT organizations, and regular organizations on bisexual cultural competency and how to relate to bisexual people. We do a lot of things with direct help and at events and things like that. So there's a lot we do that nobody ever sees. So that's what we are.
Apart from this fundraiser, how can people donate to Binet USA?
Well, we have several options for you to do that. If you go to www.binetusa.org/donate to the donate page, they will give you links to donate online via PayPal. You can also directly donate to Mighty Cause. You can use your Act Blue account now to donate to Binet USA, or you could simply mail us a check. Our address is 4201 Wilson Boulevard, Suite 110-311, Arlington, Virginia, 22203. And also pay attention, because many times the people will have fundraisers on Facebook, and you can donate at that time.
Yes, I think I've done that before. It was pretty successful and easy. And there was like a, not Kickstarter, but another campaign. Maybe you've already mentioned that. That was easy. It's all easy. So easy. Mm-hmm. Binet makes it so easy to give them money. So, and then Binet is at
www.binetusa.org.
Okay, cool. How did you become involved with the film festival, Shelby?
So a friend of mine, Kate Conroy, actually introduced me to Patricia via email. I think it was like a while back, like at least a few months, yeah. Not like a whole year. And like, you know, like as artists and like organizers, we have like a lot of email introductions, but this was just like one of the one introductions that kind of like panned out over time. So we reconnected maybe a few months ago when I think you were organizing like all the films for the festival. And then I was just like, yeah, basically. So yeah, that's it.
Tell us more about your work as a filmmaker and what other projects have you done? Do you have any other upcoming films or projects that we should know about?
So as a filmmaker, being both like queer and like a person of color myself, that's kind of been, and also an artist, that's kind of been my focus as far as like the subjects that I kind of explore in my films. So they've mostly been about queer artists, youth included, and usually like some type of performance artist, where there's like theater or some type of like, you know, putting on of a show involved. So I guess I first started with, a documentary that I did about a historically lesbian theater that was started in the East Village called the Wild Cafe. And that's essentially how I met Edith. I was, you know, doing some work on that project. And we met through two performance artists named Split Bridges. And that's when I met Edith. And then after that, I've kind of just kept working with different artists. My last film was about three women who have a podcast based in London called Sistren. And it kind of highlights the importance of, like, a queer black sisterhood with, like, familial traumas or dealing with what it means to be, like, disenfranchised as a queer person of color. And, yeah, I guess that's mainly the space that I work in is just, like, queer artists and how they kind of use their work to come to terms with their identity in some way.
Can you share some with us about the film Manly Stanley Takes New York, which appears in the program Vivid Glances, including your work with performance artist Edith Woolley, a.k.a. Manly Stanley?
Yeah, so Manly Stanley is about Edith, my friend Edith, who is a performance artist and, you know, just one of her, not to speak for you, Edith, but as far as I know, like one of her performances is this drag king performance where she takes on this persona called Manly Stanley. And so I remember meeting her and she was telling me a little bit about what she did. And she was a drag king, and I saw some photos on Facebook, and I was like, yeah, this is, like, amazing. It's crazy. I've never seen a drag king performance. Just, like, unheard of. So I decided that I was going to go to a performance, and more than that, we had talked about me just bringing my camera. So I brought it, and I had no idea. I had never seen any of her work except for, like, photos on Facebook. I had never seen her do a performance. So I was definitely in for a surprise. And essentially, I just interviewed Edith about why she felt the need to sort of create this persona of Manly Stanley and, you know, what she was trying to say with the work. And I'm sure she can talk more about that as well. But, yeah, it's just basically about it's kind of like different shots of, like, the interview where she talks about this work and then, like, the source material that she used for the work, which was a vagina contest that is unbelievably, like, real. So, yeah, it's just about her work doing drag and about her inspiration. And that's the film.
Pretty cool. Edith, what was it like to have a documentary made about you? How did you feel when Shelby approached you about it?
It was exciting and also kind of like nerve-wracking, but it was really cool. I was like really excited when Shelby asked if she could come along to like one of my shows. Because we, as Shelby said, we were working together on a project for Split Britches, which is like this lesbian performance company who are from the East Village. And we like got on and I was watching Shelby's videos that she was making. Like she was making these kind of, I think it was like weekly, daily videos of like the progress and development of this like art project we were working on. So yeah, Shelby came over. I was staying with a cousin at the time and like was videoing me getting into drag, and no one's done that before, so yeah, it was like a really interesting process, and it was really fun to have the performance documented like that.
Make you nervous at all, or?
Oh yeah, I was most nervous in the interview process. The performance, I guess, because I actually did it like every week in New York for that month that I was working there, and I've done that, performed that act quite a few times, so I guess I wasn't as nervous to do that, but the interview felt really daunting to me.
Hopefully this isn't as daunting. This interview.
No, but it was really cool to the Iris Prize Film Festival in Cardiff, and it was like really amazing. It's like on a huge screen. I mean, we went together, and it was like really, really cool to see it. Like,
oh, yeah, cool!
Yeah, so big.
Yeah.
We had like a really fun time. It's really amazing. I really think the film is really, really well edited, and I love the sound and how it's all turned out. It's very cool for me to be in Shelby's movie. Yeah.
How did you get into the Manly Stanley persona? How did you come up with that in the first place?
I was studying performance at the time, and I also work as an actor with a theatre company called the Wardrobe Ensemble, which I founded with some other people when I was maybe 18 or 19. So I was quite young when I started working as an actor in theatre. And I had actually played Elvis Presley in a show and had a really good time doing that.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And then I guess like I was introduced to queer spaces when I started going out in like London and also New York when I was there, and but most of the performances were drag queens, and there weren't any kings, from what I remember when I was younger, and there were very few like women or AFAB people performing, so I loved like going to these spaces but also wanted to kind of be part of them and perform in them. Because there are places where you can really, like, discover your identity and push your creativity. And I guess I wanted to, like, use my skills as a performer in queer spaces, because often in theatre, you know, you're not telling queer stories, or we're not telling, like, our stories or things which are part of, like, our culture. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time, so when I was at uni studying performance, I was, like, speaking to other performers, and quite a lot of my friends were drag queens at that time, and we're talking about, you know, yeah, I guess, like, drag kings or bio queens or, like, women performers in these spaces, what does performance look like? Around that time, I guess, it was, like, a kind of conversation on the scene, but the more spaces opened up that were just focused around drag kings. There was a competition at The Glory, which is a gay pub in East London, called Man Up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided I wanted to make a show for this competition. And the winner got it was initially £500, and they had a drag queen lip sync contest at the same place. that you would win £1,000. So that kind of just like highlighted the kind of like disparity initially. But now the competition, like, you also can win a grand for the drag
competition,
as well as the queen competition. So yeah, I entered that competition and I made a show, not this show, but a different show, and I came second, and that was really cool. And then the year later, I entered the competition with this show that Shelby documented, and I got the first place prize, which was really amazing and cool. So yeah, I just carried on doing drag, performing that show, and I made a new show. So I guess that's how I got into it, and I really enjoy doing it, and I really enjoy club performance.
So is Manly Stanley kind of based on your Elvis experience? Do you think a little bit of Elvis in there, maybe? Having not seen the scene.
No. Manly Stanley's like a city boy. Do you have that phrase here, city boy?
Oh, city boy? Oh, yeah.
Kind of, you know, someone that works in the city and like wears a suit.
Yeah.
It's like your classic kind of like guy. It's like the classic kind of thing of masculinity, because kind of like basic neutral maskness that I then kind of denutralized by.
Oh, okay. So like a Wall Street type character.
Yeah.
Just a city guy.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
I like.
I think the term is city slicker, and it's, you know, but I, you know, city boy or city slicker. City guy.
Yeah, he's really like sleazy and also kind of like attractive. Yeah, all of the best.
I've got to see this.
Yeah,
I've got to see this film. Okay,
yeah,
it sounds pretty cool.
It's a wonderful film, and I just want to say. I just want to say congratulations to Shelby and Edith for being nominated for an Iris Prize, because that is a big deal. So, and I didn't know that when I saw the film at first, because I saw the film a while back, you know. Mm. So congratulations. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
What kind of prize is it again?
Shelby, will you say?
Yeah, sure. It's a prize for, so the Iris Prize, they have a festival that's in Cardiff, Wales, and they show just about all shorts. I mean, they have some special presentations that are features, and it's all shorts that are queer-centered or about queer narratives. So it's basically like a prize for, like, short films about queer narratives. Yeah, I think that's right.
That's cool. I'll put that in there, too. You know, while we're talking with you, Patricia, what about all the other films in there? Could you let us know about the other films and the rest of the program?
Yeah. So in addition to Laura Mulvey and Peter Wolin's Frida Kahlo and Tina Mazzotti and Shelby Villicoli's Manly Stanley Takes New York, which we've discussed both of those up to now, we also have Open Recess, which is an amazing animation by a New York-based a queer artist, Amy Chu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that surname correct. Amy J. Chu. And then we have a film titled Way Home, which is a remarkable poetic essay film by Link St. Marie out of Canada. And those two go really well together, because Open Recess is about being young and being attracted to a girl. And it's sort of like bi youth, like early bi youth. And then Way Home deals with being like post bi youth, but having complicated feelings of home while being part of a kind of queer African diaspora. So I thought those two went really well together. And then we have also out of the UK, and specifically London, Liberty and Tanya Sadler, a film that also uses drag to critique misogyny and masculinity and all kinds of things, is I Feel Femme, which is completely hilarious and amazing. We have two videos from the Still Bisexual campaign. And also from, I believe, the UK. Yes, also out of London, we have Nilu Buman, who I actually met in Scotland this year, excuse me, last year in December, with a film titled More Love, Less Packaged Bullshit, which I just love that short so much. And then we have...
I like the title.
You know, it's structurally, it's really a fantastic film in a way that it sort of keeps the viewer... it treats bisexuality, bi plus kind of attraction in this very non-traditional way, but a very warm way, a very compelling, warm kind of, it's really just wonderful. And then we have No Homo, No Hetero, co-directed by David J. Cork and Herkutie Sharif Williams. And actually that film has a longer title, which is No Homo, No Hetero, no, excuse me, No Homo, No Hetero, Sexual Fluidity and Manhood in Black America. And I believe this is the first time that it's being previewed at a festival. We're actually, this is a feature-length film, the first of its kind. And so this is the first time it's shown at a festival, and it's in preview form, so it can premiere, you know, wherever. But I'm really, really happy to show that. I'm actually really happy to show every film. So not only is every film different stylistically, each film is also very different from the others in terms of content and focus. And I hope people walk away thinking or understanding or at least rejoicing in the fact that, you know, bisexuality or bi plus existence as a, you know, a social, a cultural, and a political unity that, you know, there are many, many identities that we hold space for under that term, you know, bisexuality, and that we have many different viewpoints and many different complexities that are very particular to how bi bodies move through the world, you know, as trans, as mixed race, as black, as gender nonconforming, as not thin, as proudly fat, you know, all these things, as disabled. So, I hope that, you know, just like bisexuality as a mode in itself, just like bisexuality as a mode in itself, you know, it's not reducible to some neat takeaway. I also hope this film program is not reducible to a neat takeaway. I hope it's just, you know.
It sounds so wonderful and envious of anybody that is able to get to this. And y'all should get to this because it's, if you can get to New York City or if you live near there, definitely. We don't have stuff like that out here in the Midwest, as well, not in this part of the Midwest, Chicago, but I'm in Kansas City area. And that sounds like you have everything packed into that program, every identity under the bisexual umbrella that you can.
Impossible.
I know, but it's just so, you have so much packed in there. It's just like, wow, there's no way somebody can come out with a simplistic view of anything. It's so complex and cool, and all the, you know, racial backgrounds of everybody, very diverse. That's the word I'm looking for, diverse. Know, it's a really, sounds like a really cool program, and I'm envious.
I hope people think that too, because I'm wild about every film, so I hope, you know, one can never tell how an audience will react. Yeah, I definitely don't have a favorite. But, of course, I wish this was 3 hours long and I could add, you know, 10 other films, but that will be for next year. And about Chicago, about Chicago, and, you know, Shelby, you are the first person to know this because I have yet to communicate this to the other filmmakers, is that there's been interest in this program going to Europe and in this program going to Milwaukee and one other town. People have been contacting me, and, of course, that's not a decision that I can make on my own. I have to... Well, we'll see. You know, that's not a decision I can make on my own. I have to talk to all the filmmakers and, you know, try to, you know, get people paid and organize all of that and see if that can happen. Of course, I would love for that to happen. So hopefully maybe Chicago, if there's somebody you know in Chicago that would like to host this program, let them, I mean,
maybe Kansas City? I'll find somebody here.
Oh,
but yeah.
Wherever there's my community, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a compliment to you as a programmer, though, that people want this program, whether it can, you know, the logistics work out or not. The fact that they want it means this is a spectacular program, and you all should go see this. I can't say that enough. I think because I'm so envious that, you know, I don't live near New York City and or close enough to jump over there. But wow, this is an incredible program you've put together.
I think the interest reflects that there is a demand to look at there is a demand for short films that, or programs for cinema itself to address minority orientations, which often kind of get reduced when content gets out of our hands, which often get very easily polarizing, you know. And so I think that as much as I want to say, I'm a great programmer, what I want to remember is that I really care about the issues that are brought up by each of these films, and that's why I assemble them together, and that this interest is really a reflection of how underserved we are an audience, you know.
It's not that we're desperate, we are desperate for good programming, but, you know, we're not so desperate that we're just going to go to anything. And it's a testament to you and to filmmakers like Shelby that those films are great quality films. That they're impressing people out there. So even if the logistics don't work out, I think you both deserve a round of congratulations, as well as the other filmmakers, participants in that program. Very, very cool. I'm very envious. How do you get tickets to this? And what's the address?
So you can buy them at the box office. And Anthology Film Archives is located in the Lower East Side in Manhattan, at 32 Second Avenue, and that is on 2nd Street. It's truly remembered, 22. So it's 2nd Avenue and 2nd Street, number 32, 2nd Avenue. And if you're not a member, it's $12 for the general public, so it's affordable. And it's even less if you happen to be a member, a student, or a senior.
Okay, thank you.
And they can't be done
online, correct? Not available online.
It's not available online, no.
Correct. Okay, cool. Anyway, anything else that I've missed or that any of you would like to add, if you've got anything upcoming that you forgot to mention?
Oh, can I add something just about my description of Manly's family?
Yes, absolutely.
So even though Manly Stanley like dresses as this city boy in this suit, I'm very much using that image in a subversive way, so using it to challenge hypermasculinity and, like, patriarchal structures. Even though he's wearing this suit, I'm kind of challenging that image. So it's all the shows of queer and feminist, whilst also being very fun and high energy and kind of sexy entertaining. But yeah, he's kind of challenging this city boy image of this type of masculinity, this trope.
Oh, cool. It sounds, you've been doing this for a while, so I assume you've put a lot of thought into this. Does it evolve? Does he evolve over time since you've started? I assume so, but has he done that, I guess, is the question there.
He always, currently always wears the same, like, suit. I find that suit really funny. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, there's so much room for, like, slapstick kind of comedy and, like, entertainment when I'm dressed in that suit. Like, I feel, like, funny or, like, I can be a better comedic performer. The last show I made was actually around, like, climate change. And and all of the kind of different voices of politicians, mainly, like, male politicians, including Trump's voice of climate change denial. You kind of hear the voices denying climate change whilst Manly Stanley, the character, is getting, like, hotter and hotter.
Interesting.
Kind of drowns at the end.
You can find me, Shelby, Shelby Zoe Coley, on Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, at Shelby Works, SHELBYWORKS, and my website where you can see clips from the different films I've worked on is also at shelby.works.
Cool. If you could send me
all these links to that you're mentioning. I'll put them on the website.
Okay.
And we'll have them available for our listeners too.
Cool. Should I say mine as well? Or can I say mine as well?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
So, you can find out more about my performances on my website, which is edithwoolley.com. That's E-D-Y-T-H-E, Woolley, W-O-O-L-L-E-Y. And also Instagram, which is the same. It's Edith Woolley.
Great. That sounds great. How about you, Patricia? Any socials?
I just encourage people to follow this program on Instagram, Vivid Glances, and it's the same on Instagram and on Twitter. No Facebook.
Great. I will have those links up there as well.
I just want to say congratulations to the show coming up and to everyone involved, and I hope it works out well.
Thank you all for being with us today, Shelby, Lynette, Patricia, and Edith. The program is called Vivid Glances, and it's part of the New York City Feminist Film Week. And Vivid Glances is on the 9th.
March 9th.
And March 9th, which is next Saturday, or this coming Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what time do they need to be at the door there?
5:45. The show's at 6.
But you should probably get there at 5:45 because hopefully you all are listening and you're just going to pack that place. So to find a good seat, get there early. There we go. Like I said before, we're going to provide all the links mentioned in this episode on our webpage. And if you live in New York or can get there in time, please attend the Film Festival and Vivid Glances program specifically and other programs too, but that's the one that's going to benefit BiNet USA. And as you all know, funding is not readily available for bisexual groups in the United States and other places across the world. So, you know, we appreciate it. I know Lynette appreciates it too. You are not wrong. You are not broken. And you are not alone. You are a human being. You are bisexual plus, and you have community. Bye.
Bye.
If you teach a bird to sing, she gonna learn to fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly away. If you teach a bird to sing,
transcription services provided by Bind's Transcript and Typing Services. Just say it, and we'll type it. As leaders in the transcription industry, it's their vision to help business owners reach their project goals for their organization or company by transcribing or providing general office support. They're transcribing what I'm saying right now. Their staff is readily available to assist. Order now and get up to 20% off your first assignment. Regularly, 99 cents a minute. Celebrating 11 years in business. And thank you, Fran Bynes, for your volunteer activism. Find them at www.binestranscriptions.com.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of BiNet USA or the Bicast crew.
Whip it back.